those things which are impossible to men are possible to God. Luke 18:27. In this lesson, we will continue our investigation into the great art of divine healing. We see clearly that there are many causes of confusion which affect the mind and body. Confusion brings pain, suffering, and weakness, which are the result of our ignorance of spiritual, mental, and natural laws. Our reactions to conditions and circumstances are, to a great extent, responsible for much of our own confusion, which is the underlying cause of sickness. And you see, always confusion that causes trouble. Why is the mind confused? That is the question. When the mind is confused, it's because one has lost confidence. And when one has lost confidence, therefore, there is reaction to this and to that. One does not know what they're doing when they have lost confidence. And confusion is a result of much of our troubles. We may not realize it, but we have unconsciously prepared these conditions for which we suffer. Yet, could we be aware of what we are doing, we would avoid much of what is undermining our own health and happiness, as well as undermining the health of the world in which we live. The first requirement is a way of life through understanding the self. Self-knowledge must come first. When we gain this understanding, we will arrive at the truth that the only power we have lies in the inner self, which is in every other self, that is our reality. But how are we to understand the self? If the self is not understood, then it will always trouble you. There's always trouble in the mind when the self is not understood because of the fact that you create thoughts and conditions, emotional reactions, so forth, that begin to affect the mind. And when you have these emotional reactions, you find that you do not understand yourself. Because there is certain things that you have not read, you have not yet made yourself acquainted with them. Now you will know always that it is your reactions to things and conditions that cause a mental strain. You are reacting to those conditions, those things. You are creating in your mind ideas, images, and beliefs. At least you will try and put the blame on someone else. It's wonderful when we can put the blame on someone else. You think that you have freed yourself from the confusion, but you have not. The fact that you react to those conditions and things, you react to the external world in which you live, therefore you create within yourselves through your reaction. But if you know why the self is reacting to those conditions, you will see why. Therefore, you understand yourself by discerning your thoughts, your motives, your desires. And once you thoroughly recognize these, you'll find that it passes away. It's like reading a letter. As I said the other day, you have a drawer full of letters you haven't read. So therefore they are troubling you. Because you have not read them, you do not know what is in them. Therefore you begin to read them. When you begin to read one or two or more, then you begin to discard some. Then you read those you have kept and begin rereading them and discarding them as you go along until such time you have read them all and discarded them all. Therefore you understand all the letters, what is in the letters, you understand them completely, so it is with your mind. You understand yourself in a similar way, your cravings. Craving is probably one of the greatest causes of confusion. But what is craving then? Craving is going away from reality, is it not? It's going away from the real. And reality is everything, and you are in reality, and reality is in you. Everything. If then you are craving, you are wanting, you are living in opposites, having and not having. If I am aware that I am one with you and you are one with me and there can be no division between us, there can be no craving, can there? But if you look at me from a separate point of view and think I am separate and there is division between us in reality, then you create that division. It is in a personal sense that these divisions arise in the mind of man. But once you discern what the personal sense is, you find that it really doesn't exist at all. It's something you have made up in your mind, something you have believed to be true when there is no truth in it whatsoever. Therefore, there can be no sorrow when you know that you are one. But there is sorrow and confusion when you think there is separation. There cannot be any division anywhere throughout the whole universe because the infinite is one whole and is not divided. How can the infinite be divided? There can't be anything that can divide the infinite because there is nothing greater than the infinite. Science has proved to us that even matter cannot be divided, that there is no division in matter. We are told by science, which is the truth, that what we see in matter is energy. And there is no division in energy because it is in the atmosphere, it is in ether. There is no division in ether anywhere because ether is the foundation of all matter. And all form and matter must exist in ether of space. It is connected with it. It's like a pimple on your face. You cannot say that the pimple is separated from your face. The pimple is on your face. Therefore, just the same as you and me are in ether. And there is no division. But ether being a form of substance, which is not a reality in itself, but a substance out of which everything is created. But consciousness, which is life itself, animating and working through this substance, creating form, life itself, it cannot be divided. Life itself cannot be destroyed. You cannot divide the electricity in the air, can you, in the atmosphere? Ether is electricity. You cannot divide it anywhere. You cannot divide life either, because life itself is behind all creation and is one whole. Therefore we live and move and have our being in Him. When Jesus said these words, I am in the Father and the Father is in me, He understood completely that there was no division. And then He said these words to His disciples, I am in you, and you are in me, and we are in the Father, showing that there was no division. When He healed the centurion's servant, He knew there was no division, that there was no separation between His consciousness and the consciousness that existed in that servant. But His consciousness was aware immediately of completeness, wholeness. Therefore, this whole servant was whole at that very moment. So it is with every one of us if we can realize the great truth that is behind wholeness, completeness. Therefore, get to know what is in your mind. Get to understand what is in your mind, these beliefs, these ideas of separation. Look at them. Understand them and see them that they have no existence on their own at all except in your mind. They do not exist as a reality. They only exist in your mind as a belief. If you then examine your thoughts clearly and discern every one of them and be continually discerning them, you will find they will fall away from you, and you will be free. Freedom comes from immediate discernment, not from analysis of things of the past, but from the immediate discernment of your own thoughts at the moment. And these conditions, and these layers of consciousness, or hidden layers of consciousness, which are memories of the past, will rise to the surface as you go along every day. Why? Because every day you have similar conditions arising that existed long ago. There is a connection all the time between the memories in your mind and your existing moments every day. If you discern then your existing moments now, what is happening, all these things of the past will rise to the surface and you will understand them, just as you understand this very moment. Therefore, discernment of the moment is the secret, not the analysis of the past. When the analysis of the past rise to your consciousness, as they do, you often become afraid of them. Why? Because you're not discerning at this moment. If you discern continuously at this moment, as from moment to moment, you will find you will free yourself from the relative, free yourself from those conditions and beliefs that you believe to be true. We're all living in the relative. You can't get out of the relative. But if you try to get out of the relative, you're trying to run away from something, and you can't escape from the relative. But if you understand the relative, and you understand yourself in the relative, then you find that you understand everything, and you're not affected. But when you try to escape from the relative, and the actions of the relative, there is your trouble. You try to run away. You begin to struggle. But if you look at things and discern them clearly, you'll find that they have no power of their own. The power they have is the power you give them. And then as you begin to clear the way, and your mind becomes clearer and clearer of all the things that you have made up in your mind, there is moments of perfect stillness, moments of perfect beauty, where the self has been completely obliterated. These moments are the moments of reality. They do not last very long because the self soon returns. But what do? You try to memorize and remember those moments. And instead of getting reality again, you're only going away from it, because the memory prevents you then from having these particular moments of beauty, moments of inestimable silence and understanding. When there is perfect peace and silence, there is the eternal reality. It is yourself. But if then I say you try to remember that moment, it is only a memory. And you're preventing then these greater moments coming into you. But if you are wise and you are deeply aware, self-knowledge will bring that tranquility again. Self-knowledge will bring that tranquility where there is perfect peace and silence. There, again, you will experience these moments of ecstasy, of eternal beauty. So we see, what we are all desiring for is this, to find that inner self that is in every other self. But if our minds are made up of beliefs, ideas, of that self, how can you find it? You cannot find it through a belief or an idea. Now this is not a self that you can look at. the real self is that self that is in every other self. But if you can see and understand that this real self is in every other self, then there can be no division. The self you can look at is the outer self. This self is a result of your reaction, your fears, your emotions, etc. It is the ways of this self that you must begin to understand through deep discernment. You will never know the intricate operation of divine healing because of its invisible nature. It comes into operation immediately we remove the obstruction created by the self. The Father does the work. The greatest exponent of divine healing was the Master Jesus. And he saw wholeness. He also always said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" But wholeness must exist before it could be made whole. And wholeness exists now. We know perfectly well that we will all leave the body. We know that. But if we continually build our structure upon the values which are physical, then we will be troubled by the physical. But if we can find those values that are beyond the physical, then we'll find that the physical will not trouble us very much. Although we know that the physical must dissolve away, but the spirit, which is the eternal and the immortal thing that lives eternally, is yourself. Therefore, it's the higher values that the mind must perceive, and not the values that are relative, changeable. It is also a subjective operation, and the outer is but a manifestation of it. When the outer self is dissolved away, the Bible tells us to look to the eternal and to realize the eternal is our God. Thus, by knowing the eternal to be the living essence of our being, which is unlimited in nature, we transcend all conditions. For conditions have no reality in themselves. Because we are always looking out through the objective self, we find we are subject to all kinds of limitations. So these become suggestions which are accepted and naturally become our beliefs which are reflected outwardly. Thus conditions are created. If then the objective self, which is living in separation and living in limitation, and if we're continually looking out through this self, we are bound to feel those limitations. But if we see those higher values, those values that are eternal and ever-present, because that which is eternal must be ever-present, and that which is ever-present must be eternal. Therefore, you are the life, your consciousness must be, because there can be no other consciousness except the infinite consciousness. There can be no other life except the one life that is eternal. And the Master saw this clearly and distinctly when he said, "I am the life." Therefore, it is true to you and to me as well. But when we understand this great and mighty truth that we are life, eternal and ever-present, it is the ever-present life then that is limitless. But you cannot see that which is ever-present until you have realized what your thoughts, your emotions, your cravings are. If you're living in opposites, having and not having, fear and faith, therefore you will never know that which is beyond. But immediately you understand opposites, you will understand them, you're not longer caught up in them. Then you will find that which is not of opposites, but eternal. That's why life is always the spring of living water that rises up to eternal life. If all our experiences derived from the source, our outer self, and conditions, limitations, you can see how completely negative we can become in a world made up by ourselves, for the world we know is none other than the projection of our own thought and action. Therefore, it should not be difficult to trace the cause of our illness or our lack of harmony without the understanding of the self as the underlying cause of our troubles. We will never free ourselves. Therefore, we've got to face these things clearly and without identifying ourselves with them, neither condemning or judging them. But if you identify yourself with your condition, then you are identified, and your condition and yourself become one. How can you eliminate the condition if you identify yourself with it? Don't you see that the infinite must be perfect in himself, and there can be nothing else? There can be no reality except the infinite reality. Therefore, that reality is a living thing. It's a living stillness, a living silence, in which reality is always expressing itself outwardly. It is in the uncreated that you have creativeness, not in the created. And when you see clearly that you are the living essence of that which is creative, then the creativeness must be within you. And creativeness is eternal, because it belongs to the uncreated. That which is created is not eternal. It is changeable. It is moving in and out. And it is a relative world. If you can see clearly then this relative world and know it for what it is, then you free yourself from it. But if you identify yourself with it, if you judge it, if you condemn it, then it becomes part of yourself. Whatever we are conscious of predetermines the predominating tone of our thought and action. By this law we externalize what we feel. When I speak of this state of consciousness, I do not mean a state of consciousness of the positive self, which is the outcome of ignorance with its cravings. For as long as craving exists, there will be self-contradiction and frustration. It is said in what we call psychology that you must become positive, you must become aggressive, so that you can get somewhere. Well, that's the very contradiction of the truth that I am trying to show you. But the minute you do that, you separate yourself from the totality of all things. Then you become separate, you become personal, and you lose that tremendous power of an intelligence that is behind all creation, an intelligence that is working now for you. That intelligence is not aggressive, it is not dominating. Neither does it dominate anyone else. An intelligence that is active is full of wisdom. And wisdom knows this, that there can be no reaction to wisdom because it's a perfect expression. But there can be reaction to knowledge. There can be reaction to the positive self, and very much reaction too, because that brings misery. Therefore, I say to you, it is not the positive self with its ignorance of with its cravings. Because as long as there are cravings, there will be self-contradiction and frustration. Do we not mostly approach life in this so-called positive state, born of ignorance, which gives us rise to the many miseries, brutalities, and conflicts which we know so well? We must approach life with an understanding of the fundamental virtue of life itself. Not a virtue that is cultivated out of the recognition of evil, for this is not virtue but ignorance. True virtue is not the result of positive or negative action, but of a state of non-duality where the mind heart is still. Then only is there virtue. How can you give expression to the infinite life that is perfect in itself, that is intelligence, unless the mind heart is still? Jesus was the man that went about doing the Father's work. He said, I myself am nothing, the Spirit of the Father within me that doeth these things. He was a complete vehicle for the expression of the Father, the completeness of the Father. And the Father revealed himself through the Son, and the Son revealed the Father to those he chose to reveal him to. So here was a man that moved around revealing the Father in all his glory. And then he said at his highest moment, now the Son of Man shall be glorified, and God shall be glorified through the Son. And it is God that is glorified through the Son, because God created the Son for his own glorification. If you realize then that there is an intelligence everywhere, an intelligence that built the body, you didn't build the body, could you? Could you build the body through your mind? All you can have is the body is an idea of the body, but that's not the body. An intelligence built this body. An intelligence knows how. And an intelligence that keeps it running. An intelligence that will repair it. An intelligence that keeps the heart beating, the blood circulating, absorption of food, the eliminating of waste, the controlling of all the organs of the body. He is an intelligence in action. That intelligence will act for you in your affairs just as it acts for your body. And Jesus proved it. Because he said these words, not my will but thine be done. And then he became the greatest of all because he not only returned to earth to show the completeness of himself in every way, but he showed clearly that this intelligence existed beyond the physical body. That it existed as an eternal expression of the Father. And that was I know to be true too. And you can understand it and know it to be true as well. Therefore, you can free yourselves from much of your misery by understanding your own thoughts and your emotions that is preventing the expression of this mighty intelligence that is wisdom. Is it not so that you are evil, and I fight you with evil means? I also become evil, however righteous I may feel. If I am brutal and you use brutal means to overcome me, then you become brutal with me. This we have done for thousands of years, yet we call ourselves virtuous. Even within oneself, if we use violence, means to overcome hate or anger or violence, we are using wrong means for a right end. Thereby, the right end ceases to be. If there is no understanding, there can be no transcending anger, hate, violence, etc. Therefore, if you do not understand anger, hate, and violence, how can you transcend it? How can you get rid of it? These things must be studied to be understood. These things arise from many causes, yet without comprehending them, there is no escape from them. You try to turn your back on them. You try to put a positive in their place. You say, yes, I hate my brother, but I must love him. What a stupid thing. What a stupid saying it is. You must know why you hate your brother. Then you will find that hate will dissolve away. But what's the use of saying, oh, I hate him, but I must love him? It's right that I should love him and not hate him. Does that understand hate? But that's what you're told to do. You're trying to put a positive in the place of a negative. But how can you put a positive in the place of a negative when the negative is always there? We are responsible for creating our own conditions, so it is more important to be concerned with our own thought and action than with the quelling of our hates, etc. For right thinking puts an end to division. Then love transcends friend and enemy alike. Divine healing goes beyond time, space, or conditions where these barriers do not exist. The one who understands divine healing can automatically use his power and influence through space without leaving the place where he stands. Why? Because he sees no division. Because he sees no separation. Because his consciousness must be one with the consciousness of the infinite that is in every other living being. Therefore, if his consciousness is one with God's consciousness in every living being, what he is conscious of must be manifest. And therefore he says, "It is thy will be done." Then he leaves it to the infinite expression, the totality of all power and thinking, and it is according to the will of God. That will of God is the expression of himself, manifesting himself in you and me. There are many peculiar things happen. I could illustrate so many of them in two or three special cases that happened this week. A little child, of course children are so easy to heal because there is nothing to prevent them from being healed. This woman asked for help for her child. Now the doctor said it was impossible for the child to live. Impossible. But as the woman asked for help for this child, then she was put into the sanctuary. When the doctor came round again to see the child, the child was sitting up in bed and wanting to go home. The most extraordinary thing that the doctor had ever seen in his life. He couldn't understand it, neither could the mother. A woman who was seriously ill, she had to have an operation on her heart. The doctor told her husband she didn't think it was possible that she would live, but yet the operation had to be done to try and save her life. You know that in 2 days that woman was out. The operation was successful and she was out. Hundreds and more of these cases happen all the time. I could detail dozens of them too. Now that is nothing more than realization of the consciousness of God being in each and every person. And in the child is spatial, where there is no hindrance to the expression of God's love and intelligence. And if I am conscious, or you are conscious, of this eternal, complete intelligence, love and wisdom, outpicturing itself through the mechanism it created for its own self-expression, then there is nothing that can prevent that from taking place. But if you see a condition and you hold on to the condition and you will say, "Please God, take away this thing, this trouble of mine." Or you will say, "My father is very ill indeed, God. You know he's terribly ill. He's got thrombosis and he's got this and he's got that. But please help to take these things away from him." That's not the prayer of the divine. The prayer of the divine nature is this, knowing that there is wholeness, arise and walk. Thy faith has made thee whole. It is already established. To grasp this fully, we must develop a highly delicate technique of awareness by cultivating a true understanding of the fundamentals of life. Thereby, a touch of the healing hand is enough to set in motion a powerful electromagnetic current to restore the mind and body to its natural state through the contact with the divine source behind all creation. I would again remind you that you may repeat 1,000 times that you are made in the image and likeness of God, yet this will not help you, because the law is that your thought will be in accordance with the attitude you hold towards life itself. This must not just be an intellectual acceptance of the truth, but a state of mind where division, duality, and opposites do not exist. In other words, when the mind heart is still, then only is there reality. Immediately we accept the grand truth of our being, our sins are forgiven and we are free. Here we see that this not only applies to our inner life, but to our outer life too, in the body as well. And it is this that the Master saw when he said, "Thy sins are forgiven, thee arise and walk." He took away the completeness, the idea, and the belief of this thing that held the person bound. People ask me often the same question, karma. A lot of people believe in karma, and they say, "It's my karma. You know, it is my karma." And they accept this karma as their karma, their belief in karma. So one woman said to me, "Do you believe in karma?" I said, "That's a religious belief. That belongs to the Hindu religion. But I'm being now, God and I are one. It is He who is manifesting Himself at this moment. He and I are one. There can be no other than I and He. There is no sin in God. Sin belongs to the mind of man. If he believes in sin, then he is sin. But Jesus said, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee now.'" And Jesus said to the man on the cross, "On this very hour there shall be in paradise with me." He had given himself up. He had lost all the feelings of that particular troubled state of the consciousness that belongs to the physical, in fear and troubles. And it is the truth that the Master revealed to me too. Immediately you get being now. Jesus said, "You shall be as white as a driven snow at this very moment." But his becoming is the cause of all your trouble. When you try to become something, God knows what you want to become, I'm sure, but you're always trying to become something. Something else. Can you understand then, if you're always trying to becoming, then you will have all this karma and all these things that belong to karma. But if you find being now, eternal being now, this is the tree of life. Take hold of it, it shall be a spring of living water rising up to eternal life. The common error is the belief that you must think hell, but as fast as you think hell, you think of disease. How can there ever be an escape from this conflict of opposites? There can be no escape except through understanding the cause and not ignorantly being caught up in opposites. If the self is caught up in opposites, how can the self free itself from duality that is binding? Man is God materialized. And it is true, is it not? If God created me, all his attributes must be within me. He cannot create me outside himself. He can't create me out of any other substance except his own substance. He can't give me any other life except his own life. And if he gives me his own life, as Jesus said, "As the Father hath life in himself, so does the Son have the same life in himself." How could God give me any other life except His? If I'm conscious of this fact, then is it not so that I've reached that particular eternal state because I'm conscious of it. But how can I become conscious of it if my mind is filled with ideas and beliefs of it, in opposites and conflicts? How can I understand life that is oneness and wholeness, where there is no flaw or distinction or division in it, if I live in division and in distinctions? Must I not discern these things in my mind and know them for what they are, so that they can dissolve away, and when they have dissolved away, that which really is will manifest itself? It is, it doesn't have to